Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Storyboard with S. Darkholm, brought to you by a team of voices. A team of voices, a poetry group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I would just like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the setup and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. Also, special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. And of course, thank you very much to Deborah Lee for running the group and Blog Talk page so we can speak out live. I'm your host, Sky, and tonight on Storyboards, we will be celebrating Star Wars Volume 30, Ahsoka. And we opened up with her theme song from the show, which of course was done by Kevin Kiner, which we talked a little about yesterday. But I will say a few more things. He is an American composer and television composer best known for scoring Star Wars, Clone Wars, Rebels, The Bad Batch, Tales of the Jedi, and Ahsoka. He is a Primetime Emmy Award winner, Daytime Emmy Award winner, and Annie Awards for The Clone Wars and Rebels, while winning several BMI awards for his work on CSI, Making a Murder, and Walker, Texas Ranger. Some of his other works are The Samaritan, Dark Winds, Promised Land, Peacemaker. One that I thought was particularly cool was Titans, the DC Titans. I started watching a couple episodes of those, and then I no longer had a platform, so I wasn't able to finish, but the show's pretty good, as I recall. Ghost in Shell, Hell on Wheels, Inconceivable, Bond, GoldenEye 007, The Other Side of Heaven, Bond, The Legends, Wing Commander, and Madison are just to name a few of his projects that he's worked on. Like I said yesterday, I really love how he infuses his own style while keeping true to the Star Wars John Williams style as well. And with all of that said, I am going to hop right into my first caller because I've been waiting for a long time. Hello, Raconteur.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
Not bad. Just got finished doing the Kessel Run.
Did you do it in, what did you say, 3 parsecs?
Yeah, something. No, it was like 11, I think he says. Under 13, I
11.
Think is something under, like that.
Under, yeah. We're going to have to figure that out. Yeah. 2 parsecs is too quick. Yeah, under 13, under 11. I'm going to have to look that up now. something like that. So I will say I'm a little tired. I was trying to tucker out someone so that they were asleep and slept through, and I think I tuckered out myself. So,
Yeah, who put who to sleep?
Yeah. I know. Plus, last night we were on here late, too. I've been going to bed at 9, which is why which is why I haven't been making it. It's like 9 usually I go to bed just try to optimize my sleep because, you know, try to optimize every hour I can. So I am looking forward to tonight. We have some Star Wars celebration. And, of course, I did go a little heavier with the clips this today because I couldn't really cut anything out. I mean, I did cut a lot of stuff out, but... I really liked the show. I was really looking forward to it before it even came out. I was waiting, just like I am for Skeleton Crew. I was waiting for it, and I was pretty excited to see. I mean, I had already seen the live action version of Ahsoka because of The Mandalorian, and I had already seen the live action Bo-Katan because of The Mandalorian, but I was still looking forward to seeing more of them and seeing where they went with everything. And I knew that they were bringing in Hayden Christensen, so I was excited to see what he was going to do, especially after Obi-Wan, because when they brought him back there, that was pretty exciting. And he does make an appearance in here, and I love it because he makes an appearance as Anakin. And then there is a little bit of Darth, and you'll see, because I brought it in, I'm pretty sure I brought it in for the clip, and you'll be able to see how they were able to bring him into her storyline. Of course, he's her master, so, you know, she's obviously still reconciling that, yeah, she was his Padawan, and, you know, that's, I don't know if you ever reconcile that, you know, that there was a great bond between them, and I mean, he's woven within her storyline. So, So I'm actually going to kick it off right away. I'm going to kick it off by playing a clip, and then we'll chat for a bit, and we'll see where we're going with that. And, Rock and Tour, I hope you enjoy this. I know that you can't sit down and enjoy it in the traditional way, so I hope you do enjoy this, because I really like the show. I don't even know where I am.
It's so multifaceted, you know, the way that the storyline is laid out. Like you said, I mean, just one facet is the teacher sensei aspect, the sensei student aspect of things, as well as, you know, all the different factions of Star Wars and the planets and the history and the politics. I mean, it's a whole world in itself. So, you know, it's no wonder that you've got 30 different episodes already, and you know, it's so far-reaching. You know, there's so many different rabbit holes you could jump down, and each rabbit hole has a rabbit hole. So, you know, it's down the tube.
Yeah, and most of the shows that I've run, with exception of the Tales of the Jedi, and, of course, the terrifying tales, the Lego ones, I have highlighted different characters, at least 10 different characters in each episode, 10 different characters for all 30. A couple of them reappeared, like Han Solo. I had to, because, you know, he was the star, he was the main character in the movie, but then I also wanted to bring in Harrison Ford. And then, of course, I brought in Anakin, and then Darth Vader. I brought in Palpatine, and then I brought him in as Sidious. So there were a couple that I did twice because they had different personas.
Yes,
and then I
yes.
think, no, yeah, I think that was it. So there were some that I did twice. I think Ahsoka I did twice because this is her show, obviously, and I had already featured her back in the Clone Wars. So some of them are done twice, but honestly, 10 different, because I always do those character spotlights, so if you look on the topic board, you'll see.
These are the subtleties that are lost on somebody that casually trips across it, and that's why your shows are so amazing, because, you know, you've got the experience of having watched and watched and watched and dug and researched, so, you know, there's a lot that you could share in 2 hours that people that are like, you know, I'm lost. You know, that they could listen to one of your shows and write a poem and be like, "You sure you haven't seen this?" You know, because you hit on all the sweet spots. You know, you bring out all the little nooks and crannies and things that are like, you know, no wonder why this is so interesting, or you know, I didn't see it that way. And then, you know, you kind of point this in a direction. So, you know, you're like a compass.
Well, thank you, Raconteur. And then even before the show, a lot of people, like, if you just look on my topic boards, I build the links in to the topic board. So when you see the picture of the character and you have I have the person who played them or voiced them, and I have it a link. So you just click the link and you go to that actor. IMDb page, but then if you click the character's name, it goes to the Wikipedia, which is, you know, all things Star Wars, right? So even if you didn't know anything and you're like, this picture looks like a cool character, and you click on that, not only does it bring it up its bio page and all of its, all the sightings where they are throughout the series and the movies and the canon and the comics, things like that. It shows all their storylines, but it also says quotes. So, I mean, it's pretty user-friendly. I try to make it very easy. Even if you don't know the fandom, to be able to click it and just do a quick read. Oh, this character looks cool. Let me read about it and see what I can do. But because I love the characters, I think that's, I am just very character-driven. Speaking of which, this clip is going to be, so if anybody remembered my show back a while ago, after the Clone Wars, I did the Rebels, the Star Wars Rebels, and that really focused on Ezra's story and Sabine, and there was Syndulla in there, and it was, you know, a band of rebels that kind of banded together. And if you remember that show, those characters are brought back in this series. That's what I love about it. These series, they're a continuation. So I get to see all those characters that I knew from the Clone Wars, but then all the spin-off series that were animated, like Star Wars Rebels, and then that were introduced, I now get to see in live action, which is just really cool. So it's really beneficial if you go back and you watch those animated shows and you fall in love with those characters and you see them when they're young, and then you see where their journey has taken them now. I mean, like, Ahsoka was very young when she was introduced. And if you think about Clone Wars, there was 8 seasons. So even in the Clone Wars alone, she grew within those 8 seasons. And then this is taking place a while after those seasons. So you look at it where I've followed her since she was a kid, and a lot of these other, like Sabine as well, and Ezra, you see them as children in the Star Wars Rebels, and you watch that, and you watch their storyline, and then you, a couple of years later, you see them grow and connect, and then now you get to see them as adults in live action, which I loved.
In their formative years.
So if we all remember, I'm just going to give a brief, just so that Ezra disappeared in Star Wars Rebels, and you don't know where he went. And that's, I think other, so the big thing is that his friends are looking for him. So you can kind of see that's really the baseline of this series. And you'll see that within the clip. So I'm going to go ahead and press play to the first one. Here we go.
Good thing I arrived when I did.
About that. Where were you?
I was keeping the ship at a safe distance.
If you didn't keep at such a safe distance, maybe we wouldn't have lost communication.
I am just following standard Jedi mission protocol.
So Yang, the order doesn't exist anymore.
Nonetheless, I have my programming.
Next time, stay close. Watch my back.
That is the job of a Jedi Padawan learner, which I am not.
Anyway, I found it.
The map?
Right where Morgan said it would be.
How did you get her to tell the truth?
Let's just say I didn't follow standard Jedi protocol.
Fulcrum, this is Home One. Do you copy? Over.
Come in, Home One. This is Fulcrum. Over.
Copy. Incoming transmission, priority one. There's been an incident.
The day isn't a total loss. Star map? Not just any star map. This one holds the secret Morgan's after. Which is? The location of the last missing Imperial Grand Admiral. Thrawn. That's not possible. Thrawn died at the Battle of Lothal. His death was never confirmed. I started hearing whispers of his return, which led me to Morgan. She was a great ally of Thrawn's during Imperial rule. She knows something. And the secret is held in that map. If Thrawn survived, does that mean Ezra? I hope so. Nothing is certain, except our enemies believe that they know where to look. Okay. Let's take a look at this map.
We cannot show you the map. The device is locked, and the key to activating it has eluded me.
It's never a straight line with you, Jedi, is it?
General, the Defense Council is requesting an update on the incident.
Tell them I'll be right there. You know who can help you with this? I do. Well, I'm not sure she'll want to help. She'll do it. For Ezra.
Commander Ezra Bridger, who sacrificed himself to liberate our world. This monument we dedicate here today stands in recognition of Commander Bridger and the rebel leaders who fought so valiantly on our behalf. May their courage and commitment never be forgotten. Here to say a few words is one of those rebel leaders. Commander Sabine Wren. Sabine Wren.
Huh? Where is she?
I don't know. She was just here.
Where did she go?
I don't know where she went.
Get out there and say something.
What?
Cover for me.
While we wait for Commander Wren's arrival, allow me to introduce Senator Jai Kell, who will share with us some words of wisdom. Senator.
Yep. Thank you, Governor Azadi, for that introduction. I would like to thank you for your support.
Security, I want a full perimeter sweep. Sabine Wren. Find her. Now.
This is Spectre 2-1. This is Spectre 2-1. Commander Wren, do you copy? Repeat, Commander Wren, do you copy?
What do you want, Porter?
Governor Azadi's looking for you.
Oh, yeah? Why's that?
Well, you're missing the ceremony.
Oh, that was today.
Thought you'd want to be there. It's a big day for you, hero.
Yep. Well, it's not wrong.
All right, look, Commander, I have my orders. I'm going to need you to pull over.
Well, here's a new order. Get lost.
Can't do that.
Because more than the others, I need you to understand. As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. So that's what I did to defeat Thrawn. We've been through a lot. grew up together in this rebellion. And we're not really family, but you're like a sister to me. I know your fight isn't over, and now I won't be there to help you. But I'm counting on you to see this through. May the Force be with you.
By my ancestors, the Night Sisters of Dathomir. You're a witch. A survivor.
There's not much left back there. Neither the Jedi has the map. Or it was vaporized.
She has it.
What if she does, you're lucky.
Luck has nothing to do with it. Fate has decided our next move. Send this one to the planet Lothal. What thread is she spinning?
No, it's not witchcraft. Ahsoka Tano's former apprentice is on the Lothal. You're looking for Sabine Wren.
Our galaxy.
Jedi Temple call it that. It comes from old stories. Fairy tales.
Tales which are based on truth.
You're certain of this? I feel the path forward is clouded.
Thrawn calls to you. Across time. Space.
Speak of dreams, vague, fractured hopes.
The threats of fate do not lie.
What a mess. How can they still be loyal to the Empire? It's
not loyalty. It's greed. Chopper, what's the update on that tracking beacon?
Follow.
We'll keep working on it. When Chopper has something more definitive, I'll let you know.
Transport was traced to the Denab system. It has remained in orbit around the planet Cetos.
We better get moving.
Calculations are complete. You may proceed.
Take us out. Paddle on.
The final hyperdrive has begun.
Soon the Eye of Sion will be complete.
And we shall deliver Grand Admiral Thrawn from his exile in the far galaxy.
The sooner the better.
The appearance of Ahsoka Tano on Corellia troubles you.
It does.
We made a clean escape. She couldn't have trapped us here.
Malin, what do you see?
Presence in the Force is elusive, yet her determination is vivid. She's coming.
Nothing can prevent our journey.
To kill her would be a shame. There's so few Jedi left.
Sentimental.
Truth.
Enough to get by?
Barely.
Liang, let's try something else. How about Zatoki?
Oh, no. I'm not certain Lady Ren is ready for that technique.
Thank you, Liang. Yes, thank you, Liang. Your skill with a weapon comes from your Mandalorian upbringing. Those skills alone will not be enough to defeat our enemy. Yeah, I learned that the hard way. You're training the body. But you must also open your mind. Learning to wield the Force takes a deeper commitment.
How? That's something you'll have to discover.
Well, I discovered that according to Hu Yang, I'm the worst candidate to be a Jedi out of every Jedi he's ever known.
You told her that?
It's true.
It doesn't matter.
I think it does.
Agree.
Here, put this on. You're joking.
I can't see. How am I supposed to fight?
I want you to see with more than just your eyes. Okay. Now what? Be still. Listen to my voice. Do you know where I am?
Next to Hu Yang.
Are you sure?
Very funny.
You'd be dead.
Not if I could see you.
Exactly. Now lower your visor and concentrate. Ready position. Feel my presence. Take in all that is around you. Follow my voice. Sense my intention. And frustration are quick to give power. But they also unbalance you. Let's go again.
Awesome. And you know, one thing I forgot to mention, Rack, was one thing I really loved about the show too, is it brings Mon Mont. Mon Mothma, and like I remember seeing her in Return of the Jedi. Obviously, it's not played by the same character because she's much younger in this one because it's a timeline. But it was really cool to see her back too, and kind of know where she's going in the future. But yeah, we've got another caller, and just because I can, this isn't your intro, don't worry, I'm not giving this to you, but just because I really love this, you can, I'm just going to say hello to Hatter here, but, it's coming.
In time of ancient gods, warlords, and kings, a man in turmoil cried out for a hero. He was Xena, a mighty princess.
Do you remember Xena?
Oh, yeah, very well.
Hey, Hatter, I thought you just really wanted to listen to Xena today.
Okay.
How are you?
Xena, the warrior princess?
Yeah,
I love that show. I haven't done it yet on Storyboard, but I know that it's coming.
I love Gabrielle.
Yeah, the actress was from New Zealand.
Yeah, Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless?
You love Gabrielle?
Lucy Lawless?
Yeah, Lucy.
I love Gabrielle. She lives
in
Texas on a ranch. Invested in many well.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
talk much?
It's yeah. The funny thing is that Lucy Lawless wasn't even up for that part. Like, she wasn't even, they already had someone else set up to do it. Like, she didn't even try out for it. Like, she wasn't going to do it. And then the person who was going to do it there was an issue with something, with a schedule. I forget what it was, but she couldn't fly out to New Zealand. And they were, like, on a tight schedule. So, like, we need to start production now. So if you can't come now, we can't start production, and we're not going to be able to use you. And then they were like, well, if we don't use her, what are we going to do? And then this other guy who was, like, I don't know if he was part of the production or he was friends with the crew, so I can't remember the exact thing. But he goes, oh, I happen to know an actress, and she lives in New Zealand, and maybe she'll do it for you. And then they called her up, and they were like, we have to start shooting, and now we don't have a main character. Do you want to come do this? And so they, and then she did it. it was really, they were like, who are we going to get out in New Zealand to do this? And it just happened to go to be that way. It's really weird. I will eventually do a Xena show. I really love Xena, but I just haven't done it yet. But yeah, Hatter, how are you?
I'm okay. You got me looking at Xena.
I know. I'm like all over the place.
Yeah, I mean,
over here.
Yeah, she's a tall lady.
Yeah.
I mean, she fits the part perfect. I wonder who the other actress was.
I forget her name, but they really got along. You know, the funny thing is too is that they were going to have like a reboot, and then it got canceled. So there's like they did. I think it was maybe at a Comic-Con or maybe like just a Q&A platform. I'm not sure, but they got together and they did like questions and stuff like that. And Lucy Lawless was like, you know, being on that set doing all that workout sword training, and it was awful. She loved doing it, and she loved the set, but she said the physical training was terrible. She's like, people just do stunt doubles. She goes, I'll just get a stunt double this time.
They had great plot lines.
She did everything herself. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And they
check this out. As a youth, Lawless performed in school productions and in college and studied opera singing.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've never heard her sing. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Travel Europe and Australia. She worked at a great picker and a gold miner. And then she married her traveling partner, Garth Lawless.
Hmm.
Interesting. Huh. Came in 1994,
what were you
guest appearance in the hit show Hercules. Oh, she was on Hercules.
Yep.
First, and she was known. Her
yeah.
portrayal of Xena. Yeah.
I watched Hercules, but I always liked Xena more when I was younger. But I did watch Hercules as well. Obviously, I didn't know then, but I knew. Reckon for what were you saying?
They always had such great plot lines on Xena. I loved the episodes where you know, they were the actress, they were actors, and they knew that they were playing a part, but you know, the real gods were involved, and they had that whole thing into playing with you know, is it real or is it a myth or is it fiction, you know, but they're really, you know, who they are and stuff like that. That was such a cool take on the show. You know, they went off down, you know, that little subplot. It was lovely.
Yeah, I really did. Maybe like 2 years ago, just because I missed it so much, I started rewatching, and I think I watched the first two seasons, or maybe the first three seasons over again.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't seen it in years, and I'm like, it's so, I didn't remember it being so campy, but it's like wonderful campy. So you know what I mean? Like some of the jokes and
yeah,
some of the like.
Yeah.
The
over to the stereotype.
It's like, oh my god, this is so terrible, but it's like wonderful terrible. But do you know what I mean? Like, because the effects, they didn't have like the effects that we have now, so you can totally see that it's just a stuffed bag of stuffing being trailed back by the carriage. But it was still, I still loved it. And I don't know if it's because it's nostalgic to me or, you know what I mean? I mean, I think that the storylines themselves, what's hidden behind the storyline, the messages, I think that's what really carried the show. And then, of course, they have, like, the what are they, the slapstick comedy?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
A little over the top,
So, we totally went off the binge here.
No,
it's not your fault. It's my fault for, and I love it. I love going off in tangents and random places. One of my favorite things to do here. But I was just I'm the one who pressed the button, so I'm the one who misled everybody.
Doctor the Mighty. He wants slapstick.
I know. You know, even when we're not going down the tubes, we're still going down the tubes.
Yeah.
You know, that Renee O'Connor played Porky Pig. Disney.
The
Astro World.
The guy that played the character was he was a voice actor. He did so many different parts in cartoons. It's hard to keep track of. He was incredible. I love his voice too. He's great. What was his name?
The guy with the scar.
He was the one. He was the one that always had the hook come out of his jacket, and he would throw the hook and go swinging like Tarzan.
Oh.
The king of
these. He was always dressed in black.
Yeah,
he was always dressed in black. Had the goatee.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a great actor, but he was also a prolific voice actor.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, Hatter, I see you brought me a poem. And we were just going over, just to catch you up, we talked about how this series is a continuation from the animated Star Wars Rebels, and a character goes lost, and they're going to try to find him. And it follows Ahsoka, and obviously, just so that you know, Ahsoka was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. So, you know, after her master went to the dark side and became Darth Vader, she continued on her journey. But she's obviously still connected to him, and you'll see that within the clip. And we're really on her journey. So the clips we just watched, you know, Thrawn is still alive somewhere. They have to jump to a different galaxy. And they're going to go, and then there's two more Sith that are pretty cool, and a Dathomir witch. I know you have no idea what that is, but they're going on a journey.
there's a good band for you, Hatter.
What?
There's a good band for you. Yeah.
Journey. Oh, yeah. I love Journey. All right, so I'm going to let you read, Hatter, and then, okay, since it's 9:50, after you read, we can plug the No, I'll wait to plug the shows. I'll do one more clip and then plug. All right, so you can read, and okay. Are we here? Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I wrote it on. You know, I missed the whole most of the Star Wars fad. You know, watching the movie, paying attention to it because I was, you know, raising a family. And I've always had the question, are we going to see this technology, you know, I mean, star travel or be able to leave this planet? Do you think we'll be able to exist through that? Or?
I mean, if we don't blow ourselves up first, right?
Yeah. So what do you think the odds are? I mean, they think at least five other extinctions that possibly life, you know, had evolved to possibly our technology level before it was wiped out.
I don't know. So here's the thing.
You know.
So here's the thing on that. Okay. We thought we would be in flying cars by now.
Well, we would have if we would have listened to Tesla. If the government would have listened to Tesla instead of Edison, we probably could have.
They could have. There are flying cars. They're just not like in mass production.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Right. But you know,
like,
I know what you mean. But
Jetson's level.
Yeah. Right.
Well, all the technology that comes around that would replace the combustion engine use of oil is bought up or taken by the oil companies and put on a shelf. They keep the patents. They won't let anybody advance through that alternative technologies for transportation. So that's a hard thing to get around. I mean,
you know, I feel like, on the same note, I remember having those cell phones that were like, remember those cell phones? They were like, yeah. And I feel like, I know that's only like, what's that, like the 80s? I know that it doesn't seem that long. I mean, I know that it seems long ago to some people, but it's really not that long ago. You know?
I was part of a think tank at high school. We were just some guys goofing around. These are just some smart guys. And I sent away to one of the friends said that cell phones is the way, is the next big fad in the technology. And there was, Sacramento was the second city in a test market, national test market, on building the grids that you could work a cell phone inside of. You have to have the grid set up in order for it to work.
Right.
Chicago was the first one out of the University of Chicago. So I sent away explaining that I was writing a paper for college or something and what life would be like at the year 2000. This is back in the 80s, early 80s. And they sent me two big manila folders full of information. Of how the grids were built and the technology advancement they were working on, and me and my buddy were going to open a cell phone store, but the technology wasn't there yet.
Yeah,
it had to go another several years, but it would have been good to have this first cell phone store around.
I feel like we didn't need to go
solar
power, though. I feel like we're missing out on the solar power action.
They're catching up with that now that they've got the cars with the entire roof is a solar panel, the electric car. So that's an option
like
now.
It's like healthy food, completely out of reach to the common person.
I wanted to jump on one other thing. You know, you mentioned the 8th. You could trace it back even further than that, because back in I think it was the 60s, in the cartoon days of comic strips, Dick Tracy had the thing on his wrist. He had the wrist communicator.
The technology was there for the phone. We just didn't have the grids. You have to have the municipalities of the cities and counties and states willing to take that leap. That was a big technical leap to go away from hardwire phones. So you have to build the grid first, not the phones.
I think the next thing to know is they're going to find a way to get rid of phone lines, you know. I think that's what they're trying to do now.
The miniaturization was huge when they learned to get out of solid state going to computer chips and stuff. That was a huge thing. So I think it got put on the back burner for a little while. But yeah, that was since Star Trek and, like you said, Dick Tracy and the watch they had. Sure. But
all right.
And then
I missed the Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why I went. Okay. I missed the wars that loomed around me. Stories that showed how life would be. For those that sought the distant shores, may peace ring out, replacing wars. When tech grows faster than the thoughts of man, out of control, it gets out of hand. Enslaved or killed, history will tell if man survives the bombs that fell. The bots we built could come alive. Man fights wars to stay alive. Taken to task, could we outlast the days of future wars? To see those things the future brings upon the distant shores. I know. End poem.
No. I thought this was cool, and I love how you play with the idea. Will we, and that, if you remember correctly, the first thing I said when you said, do you think we'll see this technology, the very first thing I said that came to mind was, if we don't blow ourselves up first. That was the first thing I said.
Sure.
And you brought that in here, too, and I think that's a very... I mean, it amazes me that we're still doing nuclear bomb testing underwater and in sites. Like, I just don't understand why. Why are we doing that? It just blows my mind. So, you know, when you speak about this, like, are we going to see this technology? And then you bring in, you know, if man survives the bombs that fell. I didn't read your poem. That was just the first thought that came to mind. And then, of course, when you speak of man fights wars to stay alive, when you come to this box, like, you know, it reminds me of, like, robots taking over, obviously, you know, like that. Sci-fi futuristic shows where, you know, like The Matrix, we're all sitting in pods with little feeders and connected to the back of our necks so we can fuel the machines and living in an alternate made-up universe, fabricated, you know, place, and in quote-unquote The Matrix. And that's what it makes me think of, you know, can this turn back for us? So, I mean, you brought in a lot, and I love the conversation that it brought as well. And the way that you feel about, like, Star Wars, and you missed it all, that's how I feel about Star Trek. So yeah. I think my geek meter is pretty high. I tend to like a lot of things that are geeky. And so when I say to people, but of course there is that whole thing, if you're Star Wars, you're not Star Trek. So I guess I can get away with that, I guess. I'm not anti-Star Trek. I just have never seen it. And, you know, and everybody that I talk to is pretty surprised about that. They're like, you've never seen Star Trek? That seems like something that would be right up your alley. And I'm like,
really?
I never really watched it. Yeah.
Oh,
and
well,
then,
you have the chance to see it from start to begin, from beginning to now.
Well,
you,
not really, because now it's owned by Paramount, and I don't have access to that platform. So I actually did. So because Steven was such a big fan, I told Steven, and this is how I think people feel about Star Wars too. I told him, I said, there is so much Star Trek. It is overwhelming. Where do you even start? Like it's just, I feel like it's an adventure that I'm not ready for, because it's a commitment to have to go through all those different things. So I said, you know what, Steven, I'm going to try, and I'm going to start off. I want to do it chronologically. I don't want to do it release date. I want to watch them chronologically. So I started with, like, the Star Trek Enterprise series, and I watched the first two episodes. And I was committed, but then they took everything down, and Paramount bought it out. And so now you can only watch it on Paramount, and I don't have that, so I cannot do that unless I buy it, which I'm not going to. So...
You
know,
you can watch the commercials on.
You know, that's the problem with different platforms taking the rights to different things. You've got to have, like, subscriptions to every platform to watch different things. But one day, maybe I'll go to the library. Maybe they have them there. But it's a serious.
You can watch it on Pluto TV, and it's free.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
with all of them, though, in order?
I don't know about all of them, but I know they have the original, they have Next Generation, and I'm pretty sure they have Deep Space Nine, too, so that's enough to get you really going.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to watch things in order. I'm a little... I guess so. It's a commitment thing. I don't know if I'm committed enough to do. I have too much other stuff to do. I have too much other stuff to watch. I don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I feel. People feel about Star Wars. Like, it's such a big thing, and so I get it. I get it, Hatter.
If you laid out like maps and flowcharts and stuff like you say, you know, parallels in the sense that, you know, one thing developed from another thing developed from the offshoot from of the other series, and you know, this character came from that thing, and it's different here, and this guy didn't exist there, and you know, there's legends that start, which is kind of why the way that it came out, you know, the original, you know, Star Trek. The original one, that kind of laid the foundation in the sense that, you know, they kind of set the rules, and they said that this is what happened, and it's all based on this thought, and then from there is where everything else kind of branched off into, you know, Enterprise. They came up with their reasons for that one, and you know, Deep Space Nine came out from you know, we found this wormhole, so you know, and they came up with excuses for all their storylines and plot lines and things. Voyager, you know, that was like, you know, well, we're Star Wars, but we're not Star Wars. We're Star Trek, but we're not Star Trek, because you know, we got flung across the universe, so it's not the same thing. So you know, one has nothing to do with the other, even though it came from the other one. So they kind of separated themselves, but at the same time made themselves individual, you know.
Obviously, we have a trick in here.
Yeah, Voyager is probably the best.
Deep Space Nine is better than Voyager.
No way.
I'm sorry.
No way.
I'm sorry. I'm hardline about that one.
Cisco ruins it. Cisco and his kid. I like Quark. Quark and
So Rack and Tor. What did you think about Hatter's poem?
I enjoyed Hatter's poem very much. You know. And exactly what you said about that thought, the expression that comes to mind is, you know, shooting yourself in the foot, you know. The way technology advances and everything, if we don't kill ourselves first. The idea, I believe, and I might be mistaken, but I don't think so. The guy that invented, you know, nuclear technology, with the test of the atom bomb, he had a totally different application in mind for what it was.
Yeah.
And when it went in that direction, he was like, you know, oh my God, look what I did, you know. And so, you know, the idea, like you said, technology itself inherently isn't evil or good. It's how you apply it. So
Nobel, who was named after the Nobel Prize, he created dynamite. And
right.
his brother had died, or somebody with the same name. I think his brother died. They put a obituary of him. They thought he had died, and then how it read was the creator of dynamite and was responsible for all these wars, and it bothered him so much that he was not proud at all. He did it to build the roads,
right?
Basically, a positive thing, but he was bothered that he was going to be known for nitroglycerin and dynamite in the world wars that the bombs were made from.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same thing, you know. It's a Pandora's box. It's what we're going through with IA now, or AI now.
Well, I mean, look at lasers. Lasers are used for surgery and everything. You know, who's crazy enough to decide, well, if I point it at you and I hit you in the right spot, I'm going to kill you. It's like, well, that's like surgery too. You know, you slip, you die.
Well, you know, when you get back to the nuclear explosions. I'm sorry.
Cool.
Go ahead, Hunter. Finish your thought, because I'm going to switch us to a different thought. So go ahead.
it's like the CERN particle collider and the explosion of nuclear as they get bigger and bigger. There is a chance, and there's not a scientist that won't say, that you can rip the fabric of time and space. And that is a dangerous thought.
So another thing, too,
limits
like
to
if
everything.
You go kind of like the opposite way, right? So when they found radium, so I read this whole thing about radium, because I read Radium Girls and, you know, how they used to have the radium dial paint and they would have
on the watches.
Yeah.
On the dark.
Radium, on the watches, yeah.
Radium ladies.
And
yeah.
They had all this positive, yeah, because they had the lick, dip, and paint method where the girls were putting the radium paint in their mouths to make that fine point. And then, you know, and then there was this whole thing where they knew that it was bad, and then there was a whole cover-up, and that's why we have OSHA, right? That's where OSHA had come from,
yeah,
was through trials of that. Because they were like, oh, use our doctors, you won't have to pay. And then those doctors weren't even real doctors, and they were just lying about where they're, all these poor girls. But anyway,
yeah.
So the point is that it was commercialized as they had radium tonic. It makes your cheeks rosy. So it wasn't just that company. It was, in general, this whole thing was put out there as something that was good because they didn't know what they were playing with. Some people knew what they were playing with eventually, but not everybody.
Well, then
when you fast forward to all these years later, right, that's treatment for cancer. You know, so, you know, there was a place for it, just not where.
There wasn't a dozen of them. That one lady actually glowed in the dark. She had a horrible death.
Yeah, not just one. There's a couple, yeah, and she's buried, and her bones still radiate, and they had to put her in like a lead, It was a really great book, and the way that it was done, it was like written like exact excerpts. It wasn't even like a fiction, but like it was like a weird book because it brought in like testimonies. It kind of read like a like a documentary, kind of. But then when they made the film, I was really disappointed because then they made it more film type. They cut out half the stories. They kind of switched. They kind of intertwined storylines to make it run more like a historical fiction type thing. And then they put stuff in there that didn't even need to be in there. And I was disappointed that they made it more like a movie than what
the
book
was. I saw the document.
If you look at the place of irradiated materials in the world today, what is it, uranium, the yellow cake uranium, they're actually making generators out of it to power houses and cities. So instead of you dealing with the rods, like the nuclear technology that developed into nuclear reactors, the yellow cake uranium is safer. It lasts longer. It's less interactive. So they're actually building generators. I think Zuckerberg has one in his fallout shelter. He's or two, probably with a backup of a backup. But you know, they're actually building I'll call it commercial applications for nuclear waste. The yellow cake uranium. I won't say a half life, but the number I think 10 comes in that you don't have to replace it for 10 years or 20 years, something like that. So think of it like a battery that lasts 10, 15 years. It's crazy, you know. But you know, it's not, you know, we're not blowing things up anymore. We're trying to use them productively in that sense.
Yeah, that freaks me out, what you were just saying, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I think we're gonna blow ourselves up.
instead of a water leak, you've got a radiation leak, and you know, my arm fell off today.
Yeah.
I can't come to work.
Well, the nuclear
really?
Power plants, yeah. Like, I just, too much. Too
like
much.
Having a plumber. It's like having to call a plumber. Radiation guy.
You know, it makes me think of The Simpsons, too.
Yeah.
The fish with the three eyes.
That's right.
But anyways.
So back to Star Wars. You guys are so funny. So it's fine. I love it. I absolutely love it. I really, it doesn't even bother me. I love the conversation. And I was only quiet because I was looking for what I had read. The Chernobyl, the history of a nuclear catastrophe. And I had read this book.
Oh, yeah.
And I started, and so, you know, when you started talking about what you were just talking about, Raconteur, after I read, I mean, I always knew about Chernobyl, but I don't know, after
yeah.
reading this book, I was like, I started Googling where the plant was towards me. And it's not that far, not the fallout, like where, like if it blew up, would it affect me? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's really not that far from me. And I'm just like, oh my God, this could happen. And it was like a series of stupidity. And I'm just like, oh my God.
That radiation cloud
being wiped out, you know, like seconds away from being wiped out. If that would have been, you know, worse.
Hey, Eastern Europe was that radiation cloud drifted all over Eastern Europe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just like, I don't know. That's crazy when you think about it. All right, I'm going to press play. And then if someone has another poem, you could drop it for the next pause in after I play. And then we're also going to do, we're going to plug shows. So, all right, so I have to figure out where I am because I'm totally lost. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Chancellor Mothma, Senators.
Tara, you look well. How's young Jason?
Fine, Chancellor. In fact, he's on board. Somewhere.
Causing trouble with Chopper, no doubt.
Most likely.
Forgive me, Madam Chancellor, but if we could just hear the General's report, we're late as it is.
Quite right, Senator Ziona. Hera?
My investigation into the attack on the Vesper led me to the Sante shipyards on Corellia, where I was attacked by Imperial loyalists still working for Morgan Elspeth.
Outliers. We have former Imperials working throughout every level of the New Republic government, and they have all taken an oath of loyalty.
Long live the Empire doesn't sound like the kind of loyalty we're looking for.
It was my understanding that the offenders were arrested and the facility shut down pending further investigation.
Yes, but I believe their activity speaks to a larger operation.
It always does.
Involving Thrawn.
Grand Admiral Thrawn? But how is that possible? He disappeared years ago.
I have reason to believe he is alive. And that his allies are working on a way to find him.
You are certain of this?
If I could get approval to send a task force to the Denab system, I could find out.
General, be honest. Isn't this just another attempt to gain New Republic resources to aid in what has ultimately been your personal quest to find Ezra Bridger?
Ezra vanished while fighting Thrawn.
And that you conveniently use a threat of Thrawn's return to acquire those resources. That could be put to a more practical purpose. Helping the people of our fledgling Republic.
Were you ever in the war, Senator?
No.
Just sat back and waited to see who came out on top?
General Syndulla, I'm sure we are all grateful for your service and role in restoring the Republic. Now, we as senators serve the people of that Republic, and I can tell you They want no part of any further conflict.
You act like we have a choice.
Don't we? I see no enemy. The Imperial fleet is scattered and broken. They have no centralized command.
Unless Thrawn returns.
Make your point, General.
Thrawn is not your typical Imperial officer. I know because I fought against him. He killed friends, people who were like family to me. I've spent most of my life fighting a war, and that's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
Grand Admiral Thrawn is dead. I'm sorry to say it is my opinion that your friend Ezra Bridger heroically died with him.
You don't know that.
General, Hera, allow me a moment to speak with my colleagues.
Of course. Chancellor. Senators.
So, what do you think of our progress?
She's frustrated. Still a challenge for her.
You both knew this wouldn't be easy.
Well, what you said didn't help.
I only spoke the truth. The Jedi Order would not have accepted her. She is not an acceptable candidate.
By their standards?
Standards which were proven over a millennia.
And failed.
You realize, historically, there have been very few Mandalorians who ever became a Jedi.
I don't need Sabine to be a Jedi. I need her to be herself.
Well, I suppose you do come from a long line of non-traditional Jedi. In that way, she fits right in.
Anything interesting?
Indeed. The good news is the enemy vessel is still under construction and not yet complete. There are 6 hyperdrive engines in place, with the final one being set into position.
So it is a hyperspace ray?
Yes, but I have never seen one built on this scale before. A craft with these power levels and configuration would be capable of a hyperspace jump of astonishing speed and distance.
Yeah, could a ring like that make a jump to a neighboring galaxy?
Theoretically, if one knew the coordinates and navigation, yes, I believe it could. The Jedi Archives speak of intergalactic hyperspace lanes between galaxies, which used to follow the migration paths of star whales named Purrgil.
Like the ones we just saw.
Really? When?
The enemy has the map and the means to get where they want to go. I fear we face a difficult choice. Which is, if we can't make the journey to find Ezra, then no one should. It won't come to that. It might have already.
He'd be stranded out there. Maybe this time for good.
Better that than allowing Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire. Let's find that ground base.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
It's interesting. He never mentioned you.
Everyone in the Order knew Anakin Skywalker. Few would live to see what he became. Surely that must leave a mark. Is that why you walked away? Abandoned him?
I'm not here to discuss my past.
The only reason I'm here is to secure the future.
For you?
something far greater.
Ambitious.
Necessary.
And you find starting another war necessary?
I'm not starting a war. But Thrawn will. It is an unfortunate evil, but speaks to a greater truth. One must destroy in order to create. Do as your master says. Destroy it. She would have done it.
Stay back!
But you're not like her, though, are you?
More than you know.
I know you feel that Ezra Bridger... the only family you have left.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I know that's what's holding you back. Your family died on Mandalore because your master didn't trust you. Sabine, you and I share a common goal. Journey. You to be reunited with your long-lost friend. And I, to serve a greater good. Come with me. Willingly. I give you my word. No harm will come to you. Sabine. Friend. It's the only way. Do it.
Yes, ma'am.
What happened?
You lost the fight.
I don't...
Trust me. You lost.
Balin's skull.
So you do remember. That's good.
Why?
It means you still have a chance.
Yes.
To live.
Tell me what's going on.
I'm here to finish your training.
It's a little late for that.
One is never too old to learn, Snips.
Once we find Sabine and Ahsoka, we can worry about that.
Unless the one thing answers the other.
You think they were aboard that ship?
Every minute that passes without finding them here, the alternative becomes less desirable.
We're overdue at HQ. Senator Organa says she can only give us cover for so long.
Well, we're not going anywhere until I know exactly what happened here.
If we stay out here any longer without reporting in, people are going to start asking questions.
Mom, not now, Jason. We might benefit from people asking a few more questions.
Not if we don't have any answers.
But, Mom, there's something about the water.
What is it, Jason?
There's something out there, Mom. I can feel it.
Chopper?
Mom?
Jason, if there was anything out there, Chopper would pick it up on his scanner.
Oh, Mom.
General, We need to figure out what we're going to tell Command.
I'll cover it. What good is a higher rank if you can't use it every now and then?
Mom, listen. I am. No, listen to the waves.
General?
Okay. What are we listening for?
Don't you hear it?
Waves crashing?
No. The lightsabers.
Get your squadron airborne. I need you out over the ocean, low altitude, full sweep.
We already did that.
Well, we're doing it again. Liang, you're with me in the Ghost.
Rise away.
Jason, good work. Chopper, stay with him.
What am I missing? What just happened?
Jason has abilities. His father, Kanan Jarrus, was a Jedi.
Okay. We better get on it then. Lander, get everyone moving. We're going back up again.
Training.
on, Snips. The battle's not over yet. There are more separatist droids approaching.
We lost so many.
There's always a price to be paid.
It was my fault. They were following my orders. I got them killed.
Come here. This is war, Ahsoka. As Jedi, it's our job to lead. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes.
But our mistakes cost lives. That doesn't bother you?
Of course it does.
This isn't what I trained for.
You must adjust to the times. Look, when Obi-Wan taught me, we were keepers of the peace. But now, to win this war, I have to teach you to be a soldier.
Is that all I'll have to teach my own Padawan one day? How to fight?
Do you even want a Padawan?
Hmm?
You know, teaching's not all it's cracked up to be.
Really? What makes you say that?
I'm joking.
You're joking?
Yeah, I'm joking.
How can you joke at a time like this?
What would you prefer?
I don't know.
Tell me, what do you want? You want me to be more serious?
I prefer it.
Listen, I'm teaching you how to lead, how to survive. And to do that, you're going to have to fight.
What if I want to stop fighting?
Then you'll die.
Of Mandalore. We had parted ways by now.
Looks intense.
It was.
You did well. You're a warrior now, as I trained you to be.
Is that all?
Ahsoka, within you will be everything I am. All the knowledge I possess. Just as I inherited knowledge from my master, and he from his. We're part of a legacy.
But my part of that legacy is one of death and war.
But you're more than that. Because I'm more than that.
You are more, Anakin. But more powerful and dangerous than anyone realized.
Is that what this is about?
If I am everything you are...
You've learned nothing.
Don't say that.
Back to the beginning. I gave you a choice. Live. Or die. Incorrect.
die. Hope for you yet.
Going to believe me.
Mom, is she really going to talk to them?
That's the idea.
It's just like the stories you told me. How the whales took Ezra and the bad guys far, far away.
They saved us.
Now they'll take Ahsoka to where Ezra is?
That's the hope, kid.
Migration route used by the Star Whales as they traversed the void from one galaxy to the other.
My people were among the first to harness and ride the creatures in the days before time was counted.
The whales came here to die. Peridia is a graveyard.
Welcome, child of Dathomir. You do our ancestors credit.
Thank you, Great Mother.
You heard our call to you in the dream.
Your vision guided me across the stars.
More witches. Long have we waited for you. And you came as Thrawn promised.
Where is Thrawn?
You shall wait. He is coming. It reeks of Jedi. It is dangerous.
Mm. It will wait in solitude.
Hey, we had a deal. Where is Ezra? Where is he?
Land of dreams and madness. Children's stories come to life.
I know no such stories.
You weren't raised at the temple. Stories of this galaxy are considered folk tales. Some ancient past, long forgotten.
What good reason? Sometimes stories are just stories.
When I was a bit older than you are now, I watched everything I knew burn.
The Jedi Temple?
Couldn't make sense of it at the time. As you get older, look at history. You realize it's all inevitable. Of the Empire. It repeats again and again and again.
And isn't it our turn now? Won't our alliance with Thrawn finally bring us into power?
That sort of power is fleeting. What I seek. So I may finally bring this cycle to an end.
And that beginning is here.
If the old stories are true,
do you know the one she seeks so desperately?
Bridget? No, it's too young. Comes from a breed of Bokken Jedi trained in the wild after the temple fell.
Like me?
No. He was trained as a Jedi. You, I trained to be something more.
Do you miss it? The order.
I miss the idea of it. But not the truth. The weakness. There was no future there.
Do you clearly see one here? In this wasteland?
I see what once was the great witch kingdom of the Dathomiri. The existence of the Great Mothers confirms this.
They seem eager to leave this place. Maybe we should too.
Perhaps they flee a power greater than their own. Something calls to me. Something stirs here. Can't you see it?
I see bandits.
There's no need for bloodshed. The enemy of our enemy is our friend. For now.
I knew I could count on you. Though, it sure took you long enough.
Well, you didn't exactly tell any of us where you were going.
That's because I didn't know where I was going.
Typical. Always a plan. Never a good one.
Hey, it worked, didn't it? Didn't it?
It worked.
Grand Admiral, as you anticipated, the minefield was triggered by a pod of arriving Starwells. Among them was a T-6 class Jedi shuttle.
It would seem a Sokotano is alive and well after all.
Here's everything the Inquisitorial database had on her.
Her master was General Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
You're certain there's only the one starship?
Correct, Grand Admiral. Our fighters have already engaged the target and pursued them into the debris field.
Excellent. That'll be all, Captain. Withdraw the fighters and have them stand by.
Why not allow them to follow?
There's no need to waste our resources.
With due respect, Grand Admiral, without pursuit, we shall lose them in the debris field.
You're quite right, of course. Jedi are very good at hiding. They've been practicing that for years. However, we are getting to know our adversary. And if she's anything like her master, she'll be unpredictable and quite dangerous. Which is why we must control all variables. Put her on a path of her own choosing. So that no matter which direction she takes, we'll always be one step ahead of her.
Awesome. That was probably the longest time I ever played a clip. I do apologize for putting them all together. But we kind of went on a talking space, which was great. But then I realized, I wasn't doing intervals. So, yeah, I just played them all so that
I feel a little more nerdy each time you do that.
Each time I do what? Play a clip?
Play those clips.
I know, you're continuing the storyline.
That's right. Everything I missed, yeah.
Everything you missed, I'm going to highlight here on storyboard. So you just hang on, and I'm going to take you on the Star Wars journey. All right, let's plug some shows here. So tomorrow we are off because Sweet Pea is still away. Friday is your music show. You want to talk about that, Hatter?
Oh, geez, I still haven't. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go Gary Moore. So I'm going to fix that title on that show page. So we're going to go Gary Moore. Those who are not familiar with him, should be. He's an Irish guitar virtuoso. We lost him about 10 years ago.
Okay, and that goes live at what time?
It should be 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay. And then Saturday is also you, if you want to plug that as well.
Yeah, that's A.P. Taylor's Open Poetry, but Deborah Lee and myself will be there.
Awesome. And you go live at what time?
That usually goes at it's usually 10 or 11 Eastern, depending on the AP schedule.
Okay, awesome. And then Sunday we are off, and then we are back on Monday with Personal Prop Monday. It's on at 10 p.m. Host is Deborah Lee. Everybody gets their own photo. They're going What Lies Beneath This Ocean, and she has lots of ocean prompts, and they're quite, they're really like eclectic. There are some artsy ones. There's some dark ones. They're all over the place, but they're all really cool. So go check them out. Every poet gets their own prompt. You reserve it, and that's why it's a personal prompt. And she also has a word bank that is optional, as always. Words from her color box. And so that's on at 10. And then Tuesday, we're back with Raconteur. Raconteur?
Hey. So, thinking along the lines of extremes, you know, there's no middle ground. We tend to see things, you know, far left, far right, nothing in between. So that's the direction I'm kind of going.
Awesome. And you were on at 10. And that loops us back to me on Wednesday. I have less clips next Wednesday. Don't worry. We're doing visions. It says 1 and 2, season 1 and 2. I think because we're really enjoying this talk time, I'm going to do season 1 and then do season 2 separately so that I don't have as many clips to have to drop. So, I mean, those ones are shorter too because each episode is just 20 minutes. It's a really short series. It was a cool series. And then a couple episodes, I was really impressed with the art of it, of the animation. I was really, really impressed. And it has nothing to do with canon. And they wanted the series to be that way. It's just made-up stories. It has nothing in the canon line. But it was really cool. 2 seasons. Pretty sure I'm going to break it up, even though my clips are like 2 minutes per episode. Well, some of them a little bit more. But we're going to be talking Star Wars. Another week of Star Wars. So join me and 9 or 9:30. And that's about it. And that's all our time, folks. I do have one more 2-minute and 60-second clip. It's the end of the series. It does leave on a little bit of a cliffhanger. Because obviously they're going to come out with season 2 at some point. And then I have the play-out music. So, again, we really just went the the last bit of time with clips, but that's because I just wasn't doing them at intervals, and I did tell you guys that we were having clips tonight. So next week we'll allow more talk time, and thank you so much.
The time is 11 p.m.
That's all, folks.
The time is 11 p.m. Somebody's talking to their Echo. All right, I'm going to go ahead and press play, and I will see you guys soon. And if you want to know the ending, stick around until you hear the music. But here we go.
Okay.
Ahsoka Tano, allow me to commend you on your efforts today. You've been quite a worthy opponent.
Can you not get me any more power?
I regret we haven't met face to face. Perhaps now we never shall. Still, I know you, because I knew your master. I concluded your strategies would be similar. One wonders just how similar you might become. Perhaps this is where a Ronin such as you belongs. Today, victory is mine. Long live the Empire.
You did well. Did I? Thrawn got away. And thanks to you, Ezra got home. I hope. He did. Ezra is where he needs to be.
so are we.
It's time to move on. Nothing. Just shadows in the starlight.